Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. God, we ask today that you would have your way. You would do what only you could do. That Jesus would be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Mackenzie, you got that quote? There's a quote that you may be able to see because it's a little tied up here, but I'll read it to you. This is out of a book by A.W. Tozer. Many of you heard of A.W. Tozer, maybe? It's called The Pursuit of God. And it says, the presence and the manifestation of the presence are not the same. There can be the one without the other. God is here when we are wholly unaware of it. He is manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. On our part, there must be surrender to the Spirit of God. For his work, it is to show us the Father and the Son. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us. And that manifestation would be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face. When I read this, it was a quote that I, The Pursuit of God is a book that I have and I return to every so often and read it. There's a few Tozer books I do. You can't read A.W. Tozer books very fast, even if they're little. you read them a paragraph at a time and then you think about it. But this was something that had struck me years ago and it came back to me. Because we've been speaking about the Spirit of God in the life of Jesus and really how what the Holy Spirit does, what he looks like. And this describes so much about what I've been trying to communicate about. That, you know, John's account of Jesus at his baptism, he said that he went down in the water, he came up, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended upon Jesus and remained. And the twofold point that we were trying to make being that, number one, Jesus need to be and was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did nothing that we know of supernatural until after this circumstance took place. And second, that the Spirit could be hosted by Jesus, or I'll say it this way, by a human being in such a way that he would remain. The Holy Spirit never left Jesus after he descended upon him, according to several accounts in the gospel. We know that Jesus declared that he could do nothing of his own, but he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only spoke what he heard the Father speaking. My conclusion was it sounds a little funny, and I don't know how theologically sound this is, but I picture the Holy Spirit landing on him like a dove and just kind of whispering in his ear, this is what the Father's saying. This is what the Father's doing. Now, that, like I said, that might not be theologically accurate, but might be right on, you know. But he's not a pirate. He's not saying, Polly, want a cracker. He's not doing that. Okay, that's a problem. And then all of a sudden, I see Jesus with an eye patch and a pirate hat, and it just goes out the window. So I got to stop right there, okay? I'll say, so the Spirit rests on Jesus, and I want to develop my awareness, and I'm going to encourage us to invite us to steward or to host the Holy Spirit well. I mean, that's the goal of what we're talking about. Because if Jesus could do nothing without him, neither can you. And to the point of the quote, as well as what we've been talking about, there's degrees, there's measures, there's different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've heard people do I'm not going to ask the Holy Spirit to come because he's already in me. And I'm like, well, that's just not biblical. You can do whatever you want, honey. But the reality of it is there's always more of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, I mean, intentionally it's written in one of the Gospels that Jesus was ministering one day and the Spirit of God was present to heal. So beyond what Jesus was already doing, who had the Spirit without measure, even an additional measure was given in the moment for people in the room to be healed. And they weren't. Mostly because they were in unbelief, but that's a different story. So when we say we're going to host the Holy Spirit, we're just reviewing here a little bit. We have just a couple instructions, but I say the first thing that we look at about hosting the Spirit of God, being a platform, a foundation, a place for the Spirit to rest, is mostly relational. That's the very first thing. It's not about performing. It's about relating. It's about conversing. It's about inviting the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. And the two instructions we have are, first one's in Ephesians 4:30. Again, we talked about this. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. do not willingly engage in carnal actions or activities that blatantly serve sin. That's what that's saying. The second one is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. He says right after, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. But it goes beyond prophecy. It means don't prohibit or attempt to stop the move of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to move as He desires. And the problem with that is that that means we might not do it right. If we gather and we ask the Holy Spirit to move and somebody misses it, then it could get messy. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit moves and they don't miss it, it looks messy. In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and they thought they were drunk and tongues of fire fell and people were prophesying and talking in languages and people were hearing it in different things, it just looked like a mess. But it was a good mess. And religion, so oftentimes, has been the cause of quenching the Holy Spirit. Well, if we let somebody pray or prophesy, somebody might do it wrong or say something wrong. It's like, well, look, if you're not going to allow the possibility of somebody doing it wrong, then you're not going to allow the possibility of somebody doing it right. Because you don't know if they're going to do it right or wrong until you just get in the place of saying, I want to be there. I'm just going to say, okay, God, move in our midst. Because we're part of a divine experiment. Can God move through broken people in modern Christianity if they let Him? Because in congregational gatherings, we become so scheduled and so regimented and so routine that the idea that we would just create an open space and say, Holy Spirit, move, oh, but what if He doesn't? We're going to sit here and be in awkward silence for a couple minutes. Oh, but what if He does and that blind eye is open? What if He does and that cancer is gone? What if He does? What if we say we're expecting God to move and He don't, we're not? And we just wait. We just wait. And say, Holy Spirit, come. We should say, God, apart from You, we can do nothing. And so, God, we're just going to do what You're doing. And if You're not doing nothing, we're okay. We're waiting here. I mean, it's a little awkward, right? But, oh, beloved, if we can train our flesh, subdue our flesh, to put the phone and the watch and the expectation of what's next down and say, God, I give You this time. Holy Spirit, what's the Father saying? What's the Father doing? And then we just wait. Will He speak to us? See, I'm convinced that we're afraid God isn't God anymore. That if we say God is faithful, and that He'll speak to you if you listen, that maybe He won't, so let me fill in the blanks for you. That His Word says, if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him, but maybe He won't, so let me explain to you who He is. I don't want to explain to you who God is. I want to say God is the sovereign of the universe, and you get real with Him, He will be real with you. The only person who doesn't know the reality of who God is a person who hasn't sought Him with all their heart. So before we go, well, I just can't get it. Well, you probably can't through a microwave attempt. You probably can't through add water and stir. You probably can't say, well, I waited 30 seconds. God didn't show up. I had to go on with stuff. There was Christian activities I had to do. You know? So I go, well, apart from him, you can do nothing but knock yourself out. See, we got to draw some conclusions based on what we see in the Word of how he, the Holy Spirit, operated in Jesus, how he operated in the disciples, and how he operated with the apostles. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit in John 15 and verse 26, and he said this, "When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from my Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Okay? Now, when you see testify of me, don't hear, he'll speak only. Because we find in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When the Holy Spirit comes, there will be supernatural confirmations of who I am that will flow through you. You will need this Holy Spirit because your job is to testify of me, and you're ill-equipped to testify of me without an infilling and an empowering of the Spirit of truth. It's not an option. See, the reason I say it this way, because we take for granted Holy Spirit way too often, and the reality of it is we treat him like a drunk uncle that we want to put in the corner and don't let him out because he might embarrass somebody. Somebody could amen on a drunk uncle because y'all know what I'm talking about. We can talk about the Father and we can talk about the Son, but if we say, Holy Spirit, have your way, well, when he has his way in Scripture, crazy stuff happens. And I've been witness to modern-day movements of the Holy Spirit enough to go, it kind of is freaky. If you haven't been to the place where the Holy Spirit was poured out in a way where somebody is weeping or somebody is crying or somebody is laughing or somebody is just in some sort of a trance. I'm just reminded because I've seen certain things, but I had a worship service in the 90s, way back before some of you were born, I know. The Holy Spirit moved in a youth group, and I saw a lot of things happen. I saw people get saved and delivered and healed and drug addictions over with and demons cast out. But I'm telling you, we were having a worship service. This little teenage girl, I know she's about 15 years old, she starts worshiping Jesus, and the Holy Spirit starts moving, and some people start praying in tongues, and some people just start falling down. And this little girl, she's standing there, she's worshiping, and she just locks in place. And the service is over with, and we're preaching, and she's still locked in place. And for an hour and a half, this little girl was like a statue, 15 years old, just locked in place, standing like this, with her hands up. And I knew this was holy, this was sovereign. And I couldn't believe it, but I had to. And I didn't know how to explain it, like, hey, everybody, we're going to have church, and she's just going to stand there, because I don't have to explain what God's doing. God knows what he's doing. If I told you every encounter that I saw, you'd say, oh, I just couldn't believe it. Well, you usually can't until it happens to you. You usually can't until it happens to you. Y'all know Emily McDonald, Emily Osborne. Probably the least likely person to draw attention to herself that I know. Holy Spirit falls, and she can't help but walk around going, eek, eek, eek. She's trying not to. But she couldn't help it. And if I had to explain, what is she doing? Well, I don't know. But I know this. She went to a meeting where they said the Holy Spirit fell. And for weeks afterwards, every time she was close, Sharon, it was at least weeks afterwards, probably maybe even months. Every time worship, prayer, presence, Jesus was mentioned, she just started going, eek, 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 jerping, shaking. Well, why? Look, I don't know why. But can we allow something that we don't know or understand? Because that's really the question. Well, I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want that. Well, you want water, but you don't want wet, okay? You don't separate it. And so the idea that you kind of have your mind open and go, well, what do we do? Well, you've got to be able to allow something you don't understand to happen if you say, I want the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm just tempted to tell a bunch of stories like this because I've got a bunch of them. I'm going to tell you one more. Okay, so we're in a church service. There's this song called Streets That Are Golden that they sang back in the 90s from the Vineyard. We will walk on the streets that are golden. And we would just worship and sing this song. The great son of man, the
We will dance on the streets that are golden, the glorious bride and the great Son of Man. Okay, I had to remember how, I had to sing it, I couldn't remember it, okay? And so during this song, my wife starts doing this thing where she's clapping her hands like this, because it's kind of a, it's got this old sort of a two-step, and she's clapping her hands this way, and I'm like, and then, this is two different sections. Did you actually go out on that song? Was that the one you went out on, or was that the one where stuff was coming out of your hands? Both. Okay. And all of a sudden, she says, as I was clapping, I saw, like, gold just flying out of my hands. And she said, every time I clapped, I could visibly see gold coming out of my hands. I think it was the same service. So eventually, the Spirit of God is so heavy that she just lays down on the floor. And that was very common in that day. You know, carpet time was, Jenny's over there, yeah. Carpet time, some of you remember, was a real thing. God comes in the room, he's so heavy, we don't know what to do. It's biblical, by the way, to lay prostrate before the Lord in his presence. So, you know, it's not too weird if it's in the Bible. And I look at her, and as she's laying on the floor, I look at her, and she actually looks dead. She laid rolled on her back. And she's just pale. And the weirdest thing, I mean, she's not breathing. But I knew that she didn't have no heart attack or nothing, because she just laid down on her own and she was worshiping Jesus. And I just said, well, God, I don't know what that is. And we worshiped a little bit longer, and I went over to her, and she's laying there, and she's still not breathing. I got right up next to her, and all of a sudden she goes, she started breathing again. I was like, what was that? And she said, you're not gonna. I said, I want to know. Tell me. She said, I was at the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. She said, I was there and I saw it, and the palms were there, and you were actually, she's having a moment, she's remembering it. And there was nothing. I was like, look, this didn't happen to me, but this is so real. I know what happened to her. For whatever reason, and I don't know why God did what he did, but I know he did it. He allowed my wife to leave and go somewhere. And Jesus, we know God lives in the eternal now. And I go, that really happened. Now, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it emotionalism. You can call it vivid imagination. There's two things she ain't. Emotional. She's really not. I'm the emotional one, okay? And she don't stretch the truth neither. And I won't say who I know might do that, but I'll just say. And the idea that, okay, God, my wife just had that happen to her. The reality of it is, these type of supernatural things happen to the people in the book of Acts all the time. One guy, he just sees an angel. He's getting stoned. They're killing him, and he just sees an angel. He's just caught up. Another guy, he's in point A, and all of a sudden, the Lord just picks him up and takes him a whole other place so he can preach to somebody. A common occurrence with the Spirit of God in his church doing supernatural things that they could not explain, but they knew it was God, because God was glorified and people were empowered through the encounter. And they couldn't explain the encounter. They can only describe what it was like, and they could see the fruit of it. Okay, I just want us to start expanding our thoughts of what would it be like if we weren't afraid of what it looked like. What would it be like if we didn't care what people thought? What would it look like if we didn't care how long it took? Because those were hours and hours and hours of time in the Lord. When I started today, the first thing I said was, we're in a move of God. But it's a move of the Spirit. And it's an expression of Jesus. You know, right after the Spirit descended upon Jesus after his baptism, we look at something. We can look at Luke 4 and verse 1. We're going to just look at 12 verses real quick here. I'm going to read this. But it says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Two accounts say immediately to be tempted by Satan. Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is Luke 4:1. being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. A couple notes about this. Number one, sometimes when you're following the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in the wilderness. Some places of difficulty and testing are right where the Spirit has led us. All difficulty does not get rebuked. Because in the midst of difficulty, he had to rebuke the devil, but the difficulty was right where the Holy Spirit had led him to be. And the Spirit that led him into the wilderness was the Spirit that led him through it. Wilderness times are not all to be avoided. You know, times where we seem to be less than engaged with everyone or everything, but we're doing, you know, whether it's soul searching, whether it's just a time of fasting and seeking, but it's an opportunity to allow God to move and to grow us. And Jesus discovers in the wilderness the impact of the Spirit's presence and the reality of that promise that he'll give angels charge over you. Even though the angels didn't come when the devil tempted him to call the angels forth, after the testing was over with, it says the angels came and they ministered to him. So they did do what they were promised. See, he receives the Spirit's baptism. He got familiar with the Spirit in the wilderness. And then it says he comes out of the wilderness in power. That's what the wilderness is for. The tough times. And you know something really funny about this particular thing? Because we like to think about God doing certain things one and done. But Scripture tells us just a few verses down in Luke 5 and verse 16 that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So the Spirit led him to the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil, where he was empowered by the Spirit, and he comes out of the wilderness and then regularly goes back to the wilderness to pray. And he comes back out again. That to me is just a picture of wilderness times are battery charging times. Times apart are times apart with him. You know, it's just easy for us. We just forget so easily, so quickly. And if we're going to be aware of the Holy Spirit on us, if we're going to be aware of his presence with us, if we're going to be aware of who he really, really is. See, I resist strongly the idea that we're going to get it all on the run. You know, that we're just going about, you know, just running a race. And Jesus, if you want something to say to me, just let me know, because I'm just doing my gig, you know. Jesus, if you got something that Holy Spirit, you just want to bless somebody, just let me know. I'll do it if you let me. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus went away often in the wilderness to pray. And we already know what the wilderness meant because it was explained. If we're going to be so flippant about, well, Holy Spirit, if you want to use me, Holy Spirit, oh, there's no question if, but make yourself available. Make yourself available. Don't become so busy. And I mean busy doing good stuff. Don't think that I'm, you know, if you're out, you know, sinning all the time, you got a whole other set of issues to deal with. But I'm just talking about our American way of living that just says, fill up every inch of time with something constructive or productive or whatever, instead of going, no, let's just clear this area off and just say, this is my Jesus, I'm going to make available to you my hour. I'm going to make available to you my mind. I'm going to put all the distractions aside. Holy Spirit, be a resting. Let my heart be a resting place. Let my soul be a resting place. Holy Spirit. Now, we can use props. I don't say we don't, because like when we gather together, we worship Jesus because he's worthy. We worship God because he alone deserves it. But you and I both know that many times in that place of corporate worship, we can hear God better. Right? Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm not the only one, right? They go, wow. And that's why after we worship, a lot of times people get up and go, hey, God spoke to me. Well, that's great, and that's the way it ought to be. But the reality of it is, if that's the only time you can hear God, you got to get your tuning looked at a little bit here. Okay, because he's saying that measure of encounter is available to a heart that's open to it. If your lifestyle says, I worship Jesus moment by moment, if your heart says, God, I want to be turned towards you like I am during worship, then I can tell you, you're much more likely to have that move of the Spirit interrupt your agenda and say, oh, I can stop and pray for them. Oh, I can give a word of encouragement. Oh, I'm going to call that person. I'm going to be used by the Holy Spirit if I make myself available to him. Now, one of the experiments that I've been doing, most of the stuff I've done in the past and I get away from it and I start doing it again. But in my car specifically, I don't listen to tape, I don't listen, or a DVD now, okay? Tapes are long ago, I'm sorry, it's just my brain. I took out the 8-track and I put it away. I turn the radio off and I just specifically say, God, because I can drive mindlessly. God, what? Because I drive, different places 10 to 15 minute times. Every time I get in the car, I'm just, no radio, God, what? What are you saying? God, what are you saying? I forget sometimes that Kelly's with me. We're in the car, and she'll be like, when I ask me a question, I'm like, huh? What? What? You were talking. I'm conditioning myself to say, there's one of the places in my day where I say, God, what are you saying? That's not the only one, but if you look for those opportunities, those places where you've got 10 minutes, you got 15 minutes, even in the morning is one of the best times. But, I can get sunk into an hour in the presence of the Lord in the morning and then just not want to go out and go the 4 hours. But I can't. Lots of times we've got appointments, we've got things to do. So it's not like, oh, the only time I can meet with Jesus is that first hour of the day. Well, that first hour of the day gets interrupted. You're going to be starving if you got to wait till the next day. The ability to just go, no, I'm going to stay engaged with the Holy Spirit. One of the things I do is just pray in tongues on this. See, if Jesus felt the need to withdraw into the wilderness, I could say it this way. We never see Jesus say, hey, I got this. He always stays in this place of humility and dependency. He says nothing without the Holy Spirit. So about the Holy Spirit's activity, I'll just say it this way. Everything we experience, everything we receive from God, we do so by the activity of the Spirit. From the realization of our sins and our need for a Savior, the revelation that God is holy and that I am unholy and I can't please him, I can't live perfectly, and perfection is his standard that I can't achieve, and that revelation can only come from the Spirit. People who mentally ascend to, yeah, I believe in God, that's so common. Oh, I believe in God. It has nothing to do whether you're a Christian. Believing in God is not a prerequisite, is not the thing that makes you a creator. It's a starting block. But a lot of people believe in God and aren't going to heaven. Okay? I go to church. That doesn't matter either until you have the revelation that you are a sinner who cannot save yourself and you need a Savior, and the only Savior who could possibly do what needs to be done is the man Christ Jesus. Period. End of story. Until that happens, your heart is just full of information. Your head just has knowledge. But when the Holy Spirit breathes on that information, it becomes revelation. And when you act on that revelation, it becomes activation. And now you're, okay, what do I do? And what you see happen, like in the book of Acts, the people said, what must we do to be saved? And Paul says, repent then. Repent then of your sins. Turn to this Jesus that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing come from the Lord in the place of staying free and unencumbered. Now, Ephesians 2, that's just the place where it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not a gift of yourself. You didn't get saved except that God gave you a gift of faith so that you could believe in the grace that he gave you. I can't overemphasize, you have nothing without the Holy Spirit imparting it to you. And I want to be deliberate and purposeful in agreeing with and obeying the things that the Spirit is doing and saying. If I want him to descend upon me, if we want him to descend upon us and remain, then we're going to have to be deliberate. Deliberate. What I would say, and again, these are suggestions of what it might entail. As a corporate, if we are on the same page and we say we want to gather, and when we gather, the Spirit to come in power unhindered. Yep, that sounds like something we want to do. Okay, then what we might do is decide we won't show up 10 minutes after the church service has already started and try to get ready by the time worship is over with. Okay? What it would probably look like, and this is again what I've seen in the past, is that a group of people decide, I'm going to come actually before the service, and I'm going to create a prepared atmosphere before anybody gets here that the Spirit could come and dwell mightily in. Sacrifice, no condemnation. Somebody says, I want to do that. And an hour before church, we gather in the prayer room and begin to cry out, God, fall in this place. That we show up today, we show up for a gathering, not going, oh, life sucks and then you die, I can't handle it. But you show up going, I expect God to move mightily. There is nothing that I'm dealing with that he can't deal with by the power of his Spirit. And I expect him to deal with it today. That we put a draw on the Spirit before we ever gather. And we give ourselves to him in worship in a way that may even be uncharacteristic of our personality. Well, Scott, you know, you're that more boisterous guy. Ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, shout unto God, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all your people. He didn't say, and for those of you who don't have an outgoing personality, think happy thoughts towards him. It's a command of obedience that we see a move of his Spirit. When we obey, now, well, that was the introduction. let's just wait here a minute. So, Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just believe that you want to do something in our midst. And, God, that we wouldn't rush through it. God, we wouldn't allow doubt to steal our hope. Lord, we wouldn't allow fear. And we wouldn't allow just the uncomfortable idea that it may look messy or be awkward to keep us, Lord, from yielding to a new level in this season, yielding to a new measure of your Spirit, God. Holy Spirit, we just give you permission. We give you welcome. Holy Spirit, we don't want to quench you. We don't want to grieve you. We want to partner with you. God, rest upon us, we pray. God, rest upon us. Right now, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that needs healing, we pray that you would touch them and heal their body.
Holy Spirit, release your healing power. Lord, if there's anybody in here right now that doesn't know if they're saved, or they have a head knowledge, but they really haven't been converted and born again, God, we pray right now that you would do that work, that you would lead them in such a way that they could make you their Lord and Savior, give their life to you. Lord, we pray right now if there's somebody that's been dealing with fear, oppression, depression of any kind, we just release right now Holy Spirit power to bring encouragement, to bring deliverance. God, we just declare whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Be freed in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. God, speak to us. Oh, God. He's here, beloved. He's here. He wants to remain on you. On you. He wants you to carry him where you go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come testify.
Yesterday we had a group of us went down to Pawnee Assembly of God, and we were part of a prophetic team for their pastors' conference for small churches and rural pastors, and it was just amazing. There was just such an open heaven there, and one of the things that we did is when they would come up to us, we'd say, let's just wait a few minutes for the Holy Spirit to talk to us, because he knows everything. And so you could just tell God was just hitting people. And this woman comes up to us, and you could tell she's in a lot of distress. And she didn't even give me a chance to say, let's wait for the Holy Spirit. She just started saying, you know, that she's worried about her kids, and her husband's not saved, and she has health issues, and they can't find out what's wrong with her. And I said, okay, wait a minute. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, she's got fear. That's what all that's about. And so I said, are you in pain now? She goes, I'm in pain constantly. And it's in her liver area. And so we started praying for her. And I told her, I said, you need to renounce fear right now. And you need to repent. Because that's the open door. And I tell you, that woman, she was a shaking and a hollering, and I didn't know if things were coming out or coming in. I wasn't quite sure, but I just kept praying with her because she's just like everywhere. And when she's done, I go, how's your pain? She goes, it is gone. And so we did a victory lap. I don't know if she was comfortable with that, but I didn't care. We were going to go ahead and do it anyway. But that's just one of those things, and just what really hit me is, Leah told me about a week ago that Pastor AB, every week at Pawnee Assembly of God, they pray, their staff prays for prayer requests that comes in. And he said one day, he goes, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to ask God what the root is. And I have found myself so many times just praying, because people are like, I need this, I need that. And that's what I pray. And then they're constantly needing that, and nobody goes to the root of it. And that just hit me hard, that I'm going to start asking Holy Spirit, what is the root? Let's get to it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, what Scott's talking about, I mean, God's just doing nationwide, worldwide, learning to walk on purpose in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking time in the morning be filled so that the power of God is resting and flowing through you every day. So a friend of mine sent me a link to some TV show coming up, I guess. And they were very intrigued by it. I think God was speaking to them. So I put the little trailer on, or not the trailer, the first episode, whatever. And I watched it like 3 or 4 times. I felt like God's like, you need to watch this. I'm going to speak to you through this. And I won't go into any detail other than the oddity magic of the TV show is that this young lady can basically hear music and songs being played coming from a person that's like expressing their heart, their mind, their struggles through song. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I watch this show, and there's one part in it where she's just out in public, like in a big city or somewhere, and like all these people around her start singing the same song, and it's like a Beatles song. I need help, help, someone help me, somebody help me. But it's like all these people. It wasn't just like she passed one person. It was like the majority. And so I feel like God's saying, Larry, you don't see, because you can't see, how desperate most people are. The vast majority that you walk right past. You don't see their heart because you don't see it yet. Larry, I'll show you, but you don't see it yet. So it's like a very prophetic part of this show. I was like, whoa. No wonder I just kept watching this guy's like putting this truth in my heart, like opening my heart to the truth of the desperation of the masses around us. So 2 days ago, I felt like I was supposed to go to this Legacy Audio that I work with a lot. And these young men, I'm always trying to reach out to him, talk to him about God. And there's a new employee there. And he's been on there a couple months. So I don't even know his name. I walk up, I say, hey, I yelled across the room. I'm like, hey, how you feeling? How you doing? Are you feeling good with it? Are you comfortable? Are you learning it? And he's like, you mean my job? I'm like, yeah. I go, like, in the morning, do you wake up with anxiety or are you at peace? You're good to go to work? I mean, how are you? He goes, and it just shifted. He goes, I wake up every day of my life with fear and anxiety. And it's got nothing to do with work. I mean, he just starts, I mean, around all these guys, just open. I'm like, whoa, God is just showing me, Larry, it's real. It's everywhere around you. How do I say this? Just because the Lord convicted me of something does not mean he's convicting you. But if he does convict you, then that's God, okay? What I'm saying is that the Lord was convicting me, very simply saying, you know, Larry, will you in the mornings purposefully set aside time to be filled with the Holy Spirit so when you encounter these people, which you will, you actually have something to give them.
That's good. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Larry. You know, and that's kind of the issue when we say we're going to gather in church. And a lot of times, you know, and this is, I don't want to be critical. I just want to be honest. And that is that we've allowed church to become a place where we get entertained. You know, the lights are going to come on, this production's going to start, everybody's going to be wowed, you know, good message, good worship, and go home and nothing changed. And it's almost like, you know, it's like, what if we just do away with all that? I've never, our crew here, I'm always like, look, if you got to be a cheerleader to lead worship, if people have to be cheered into loving Jesus, they got an issue. I don't want to say that wrong. But, you know, if it's like, come on, everybody, yay, let's go, oh, Joe, go. It's like, wait a minute, isn't he worthy? Do I have to come out with Go Fight Win in order for you to remember that Jesus is worthy? And I'll tell our worship leaders, don't, you know, or, hey, we got to, all right, everybody, clap your hands, stomp your feet, let's get all excited. You know, hey, man, if it's got to be a production,
And the problem is that that's what we do when we're not willing to wait for the Holy Spirit. Well, we better work something up. And we can't do that in our life. I mean, Larry just said it in a real, real way. But it's like I showed up and the guy's got something. And I'm like, I don't want to show up to that situation and not have something to give the guy. You know? It's like that's how we got to be when we approach everything. But especially in church. Come and entertain me. You got an hour and 10 minutes. Get her done. You know, because there's a whole other crowd that's coming right after you or whatever. And it's like, no, man, let's just wait. God's God. And whether anybody preaches or we sing a single song, if we just wait on him and turn our hearts towards him, set our affections on him, I believe he's drawn to that. We want to have skillful worship leaders. We want to have good encouragement. We want to have the move of the Spirit. But the reality that it's got to come the way that, you know, we put it on the menu. Well, we'll have the appetizer here. Then the main course, and there's a dessert. It all has to be done medium well. No. God, have your way. God, have your way. Stand with me, if you will. And, you know, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. But if you'll come expecting God, if you'll take what we've been talking about the last few weeks and just begin to incorporate it in your life, decide to show up, decide to pray, decide to gather just a friend or two and say, hey, let's just put a draw on heaven before anybody walks in that service this morning. Let's just agree that there'd be no depression, oppression, suppression of any kind. Keep people from receiving what God has. Let's just anticipate God moving and healing somebody today and pray accordingly. Let's just draw together. I'll just take Jace with me. Hey, Jace. We want to see somebody get healed today. Let's pray for that. And just go, okay, Grandpa, we'll pray for that. That I just, ability to say, it doesn't have to be, you know, me. It doesn't have to, just, hey, we're going to agree. We're going to put our faith in a place of saying the Holy Spirit wants to move, number one. Number two, he can use you and me. Number three, there's a whole bunch of people who need it. There's enough reason right there that we could set ourselves to expect and declare God's power in the place and watch him fill the areas that we're unable to reach and fill ourselves. So, Father, we love you. God, we love you and we thank you today. God, that as we go, you go with us. Lord, help us this week. Help us, God, in this season, Lord, to be like sponges soaking up your presence. God, that we would be hungry and thirsty for you in a new way. God, right now we're asking that your Spirit would stir within us, God, even as we stir ourselves, a deeper hunger for you. God, as we see the greater need all around us, Lord, let us not be calloused or hard-hearted. Let us not think, Lord, that we can give something that we don't have. God, we want to have you. Lord, that the helper would be in us and on us to testify of you. Lord, help us steward you. Help us be a resting place. Spirit of God, only you can do this, but we say, Lord, do what only you can do in instructing us how to rearrange our life to honor you better, how to structure our time, how to set aside opportunities for encounter, and how to be in faith expecting you to move mightily. Lord, I pray this today. Declare that it'll be so, God, over our household, over this family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, fam, in a neat and orderly fashion, get all your money out. Go downstairs, put it in a basket, and take some soup home. Love Jesus, and have a great day. Amen.